happen.
But nearly 10 steps away, the silhouette just vanished. I tell you, that moment I just froze. Even when I had stayed over, and I'm sure that there was no one around, I would still find my exhibits had been moved around. The person it happened to, and I said, this is why you died. This is how you died. You know, it's not something you can let go of easily.
Right? Slept in my daughter's room across the hallway. I could hear the sounds of someone walking around in my room, heavy footsteps, and of door opening and closing.
Is anyone here? What did you find?
You are listening to Supernatural Confessions.
Supernatural Confessions is a safe space for anyone who have had a paranormal encounter and want to be able to tell their story to a community who will not ridicule them. Some of us have experienced the unexplainable ourselves, while the rest of us simply enjoy listening to ghost stories. If you or someone you know have had an encounter to share, get in touch with us through our website, supernaturalconfessions.com.
Hello everyone. What do rented costumes, rented furnitures, and rented cars have in common? They all have been in the hands of people you don't know. Now, we believe the items and places store energy in prints, and that's how psychics are able to get rid of the past. Problem starts when you unknowingly invited something into your life with the item you rented for a short-term solution and end up into a long-term problem. All these stories and more on For Rent Only on Supernatural Confessions. And now, introducing our host, the Prince of Paranormal Eugene Tay and the immortal Jonathan Lim. Only on Supernatural Confessions. Enjoy.
Welcome everybody to Friday Night Live. Welcome back with your host. I'm the Prince of Paranormal, Eugene Tay, along with my very charming co-host, the immortal and very red today, Jonathan Lim.
Yeah. I feel like I'm in a shrine. I don't know why.
You are. You look like some deity sitting there, you know, waiting for
some orange-colored deity. Yeah. Okay, I'm Orange Julius.
You know, the funny thing is, Jonathan, I thought everyone knew who Jonathan Lim is. I actually, my wife came up to me the other day and she says, "Hey, do you know that this guy who wrote a book about Between Gods and Ghosts is also by Jonathan Lim?"
What a coincidence!
Does Jonathan Lim know that there's another Jonathan Lim writing the book? I'm just waiting for it to sink in, you know. I was like, yeah, I think I'm sure Jonathan Lim knows.
What did she say when you told her?
He's like, 5 minutes later. Oh! It's the same Jonathan Lim! Yes.
Fair enough, lah. Okay, lah. I have doppelgangers everywhere. So.
Hello,
everybody. Hello, everybody. Oh, welcome, man. Welcome to Friday Night.
Yeah.
We're nearing the end of our season already, eh?
This is the... Shall we tell them the number? We should, lah. Huh?
Yeah, I lost count. Wait. How do you say? Third last. No, second last. Third last. So two more after tonight.
Correct.
Yeah. And then we'll take a break. And then you'll see us again at the live show. Very exciting.
We're all planning. We have been meeting up at, you know, very posh Prata places to have meetings. You know, where fans came up to us and go like, "Hey, we recognize you. Thank you so much for coming up and say hello." And we are in the midst of planning. We are discussing the creative programming behind it. Because, you know, John, the one thing we say is we are perfectionists in what we do. And we don't just want to give you the live show as another Friday Night Live where you can just sit at home and watch us. That's not the point. Yeah. If you're going to be there...
More than that.
We want you to walk away and say, "Hua." Like the last one. The last one, right? You all were there. You all went away. "Hua." So.
Yeah. Shooker than shook. Okay. Yeah. So that's what we're planning for now. That's why it's so cool that there is a banner now above the chat for all of you who are excited about the live show. We are taking advanced booking so that we can know what our capacity finally will be.
We only have 100 packs, guys. So that is the capacity.
Yeah.
So
oh, yeah, that's true.
Only 100 packs. Yeah.
So faster grab, okay?
On the off chance that it gets 1,000 packs in the next 1 month, then we'll decide. Wow. Okay, so 100 packs is all we have because that's all we can afford.
I see.
The cost increased quite drastically after 100 for places that can accommodate. The next best jump is 300.
Oh, not Singapore Expo.
Soon, one day.
So if you are keen, it is the 6th of January and it is in the planning. So faster, go and book your seats first.
Links are on top.
Yeah.
Okay.
So cool.
Anyway, want to say thank you to all those who say congrats, Eugene, who passed the exam. Yes, guys, I've cleared the assessment and everything.
Is this the final assessment?
No, meet with it.
Not yet.
Final is April. Next
oh dear,
year.
Wow. Okay.
It's a long way more to get my little batch of tourist guide license.
Okay, halfway there. Mm. Wow, congrats.
Yeah. And now, this entire show would not be possible without this Heroes of Supernatural Confessions, and they are our Patreons. And let's go with the very increasing and encouraging names on our list. If you're interested in being our Patreon, go to patreon.com/supernaturalconfessions, where I put up footages that are B-rolls that are not on the main channel. And also you get to join a community where you have access to me directly and we get to chat quite consistently and you get behind the scenes updates about what I do for Supernatural Confessions. And to thank these heroes, they are from the Sentient Entities category, Elaine Chua, Alsatian Chua, Yumiko Grimm, ZP Matt, Queen Lai, Lim Tek Chuan, Elvin Sensei VL, Casey Chan, Alexa Oh, Janice Ang, Jaslyn N, Yong Kwan Yu, Han Jae, Ko CC, and a new name this week, Jervin. We are on a new list, a new column already.
Welcome.
Wandering Spirits. We have Joel Goh, Deborah Confield, Chia King To, Linda Hayden, Lex, Jess Neo, Jerry Fish, BB Teo, Tay Hak Wee, Two Sands, Alvin Lim, Kenny Polaris, Jayanti, Saritzu, Ezekiel Kelvin, Terrence, TTB, Juju Bay Jumi, HW Tay. New names this week, ZP and Devendez. I saw Devendez on the group chat, on the community chat just now. I think that's him or her. Wrestler Souls, we have Su Chie To, Grace Chai, Candy Chia. Candy Chia, props to her, was the very first one who signed up for the live show. Transfer all made already, straight up. She wasn't going to miss it. Ron K, Jack Ong, Nicholas Poa, Burke, Serene Tan, Rachel Y, Kelvin C, Serene Tan. Never fails to tell me good morning. That's so encouraging. Every morning I wake up to receiving her message. Beautiful. Uh-huh. And thank you, CC Co, for the blessings. Number one fan.
Oh, thank you.
Okay.
All right. Must like and share. Must like and share.
Yeah, like and share, please. Now, when you like and share, we get a bit more of an outreach. And the reason for that is more outreach, more likely to get confessions, more stories for you guys, more entertaining Friday Night Live. Thank you, To Sa Pao. Is that To Sa Pao?
Thank you, yes, To Sa Pao with a screaming kitty cat.
Yeah.
Thank you.
It's her first super on the live stream.
Yay! Wow, tonight is going to be a crazy night. Mm. I look through the confessions. They are puzzling. They are surprising. They are definitely worth discussing. I think there will be theories in all directions.
Mm.
So I'm looking forward to that. I'm really looking forward to that.
So today's theme is about things that were rented.
Mm.
And rental items, as we know, you don't know where it's been, whose hand has been to, or if someone had died with the item that you borrowed.
Hand is not the part I'm worried about.
and one of the confession talks about costumes, and I know some people actually rent costumes for intimate sessions.
Really?
You never, maybe?
Not the intimate ones lah. You rent for Halloween can lah. You rent for intimate lah.
You rent for Halloween Halloween in October, but you rent a nurse costume in March.
Buy your own lah, ayo. Please don't rent those costumes.
Taobao cheaper lah.
Yeah, exactly. Just buy. Okay. This is a public service announcement. Okay. If it's going to touch anything more than your hand, buy your own. Okay. Please buy your own for the sake of everyone else after you. Ew. Okay. That's because I don't entirely trust the laundry service.
Okay. But yes, but actually, no, like, it's quite creepy because if you are a person who, let's say, and some of you have already proudly declared it in the chat, right, that you regularly buy antiques, that you regularly go to pre-loved shops, right, you know, and buy stuff, whether it's clothing or furniture or stuff, even books, right? As a kid, I was such a secondhand book person, right? And I always wondered with the old books, right? It's like, oh, I wonder what's happening here. And then you see their names written on the inside. You're like, is this person dead? Are they going to haunt my book? You know? So I think there's always a little tremor of uncertainty, which can become exciting, right? You're kind of taking a little risk, right? Mm. But here are stories where that risk did not pay off.
Shall we go with our first confession for tonight?
Can. Come, intro.
Okay, the first confession is ghost at special effects to a budget student exhibition.
However, your title very very elaborate.
Title is too long, so I had to shorten it to ghost at effects to budget exhibition.
Okay.
Now this is, I believe, he's one of the art student for one of the local universities, and he was curating or setting up an exhibition. And you know, with how these students, they always try to find the cheapest way possible, pull strings, beg, borrow, and steal, right?
So we've all been there.
So he managed to find a scaffold. He wanted to use a scaffold, put a white cloth on it, and hang his things. And these things are not cheap, not even if you buy it off Taobao, right?
So, you cannot buy scaffold off Taobao.
Yeah, so he found a very cheap scaffold, someone who's going to already scrap it, and he says, oh, I'm going to borrow it. And then he did, and something happened. So when I looked at it, I go like, wow. Ghost at special effects. I saw the good side of it, but he was like, you know how scary it is to live with a ghost for one whole month that you cannot chase away. But we'll hear more about this and discuss this after the confession read by Supernatural Confession, second sexiest voice, Jonathan Lim. Take it away, John.
Confession by Gilman. For my final year project, I curated an arts exhibition at Gilman Barracks and wanted to include a scaffold as part of the setup. I managed to pull some strings with a construction firm who had some disused scaffold in storage about to be scrapped and managed to get it at a cheap rental price for the month. It was practically free. I just needed to settle my own transport, which was really the bulk of that cost. The scaffold was unstable and not fit for use, and they insisted I did not use it for climbing. Now, I know Gilman Barracks isn't exactly the cleanest place, spiritually speaking, but the haunting in my gallery, I feel, came from the scaffold. That particular room where the scaffold was used showed exhibits of photographs hanging there and a projection screening a series of motion photographs onto a white cloth that was draped over the scaffold. When I worked late at the place, most times alone or just with a couple of other final year students, we could hear the metal of the scaffold creaking and the sound of boots walking around. It's easier to hear noises because the rooms were echoey and whatever sound we heard came from inside only and not outside. The surrounding areas are quite empty and we were far away from the roadside. The most annoying thing is that I would come back the next morning and find my items displaced. Even when I had stayed over and I'm sure that there was no one around, I would still find my exhibits had been moved around. Why didn't I stay in the room? Because I'm not that crazy to want to encounter anything. A friend suggested putting incense cones in the corners of the room to try to appease the spirits, but that didn't work either. The upside of this encounter was that I had some visitors who commented that they enjoyed how my exhibition came to life. When I asked them what they mean, they said, oh, there's movement behind the white curtains. And as if someone was behind it. I can see a shape, they said. I smiled and accepted the compliment. Later on, we learned that mine wasn't the only haunted exhibit. Another student had borrowed an old vintage dresser from a warehouse along Bukit Timah, and her visitors too had encountered an apparition of a woman in the mirror combing her hair. When visitors asked how she did the effect, she said, projection mapping. Haunted gallery or not, we saw through to the end of our project. On the last day, we had some sort of a wrap party, and a friend of a friend who is a practicing witch said that she would try to make contact with these entities. My ghost, apparently, was that of a worker who had fallen to his death at work, and since then, there's been a series of other unfortunate incidents, serious but not fatal, surrounding that scaffold. Then that's when it occurred to me why the boss wasn't using the scaffold himself, and why he warned me not to climb it.
Ding, ding, ding.
When I first read about the scaffold creaking, right? That one I'm not surprised, because scaffolding, especially if you bring it into an air-conditioned room, right? You know, has a tendency to, contract and expand, right? You know, and scaffold, I mean, it is, after all, pieces joined together. Correct. So every single joint is a fresh joint. So that it's not surprising that there's so many possible joints that can creak. You know, so it's a noisy thing. It is a noisy thing. But then they mentioned footsteps. And that's something different, because I'm assuming footsteps would be a more regular pattern. Right? It's not like one creak here, one creak there, but a continuous rhythmic kind of thing. You know, that is suspicious. That's when I would run out of the gallery. You know? So, wow.
But, you know, I've been in positions where I'm doing final year projects as well. And, you know, you may think there's a ghost there, but sometimes the urgency of setting up your project for deadline and you are already shagged, you're pissed off. Really, at that point of time, fear or not, right? If you don't come to me, you don't pop up in front and boo me, I will let you, and you know, I'll let you live in that room, you know. And I think that's what the final year students are actually facing.
But I would be even more stressed because they are rearranging my exhibition.
That's the part he was pissed lah. Every morning coming out to rearrange again.
Yeah, exactly. Right. That's kind of stressful, you know. Unless it was trying to make it better lah. I scarcely get an A because everything was rearranged.
Yeah, I totally feel the contraction and expansion of metallic pieces. Like, you're right. So we can sense that. That really is not a horror. But in a big space, you are there alone, and you hear the it can get freaky. And I speak from this from experience. I shared this story many, many years ago. I was in New York when I was in my early 20s, and I stayed in the cheapest motel I can find. And it was during winter time, right? December. And there was like one shared toilet, climb up four stories. It's a very old part of the building near the projects area. And the whole night, I was kept awake by the moaning and groaning of the water heater and the pipes.
The plumbing.
Yes. So it will contract and it goes,
yes.
And it echoes throughout.
Yeah.
Then you go, you know it's the heating system, but it's no less scary because
that's true.
It's
that's
totally the sound true. Of it, right? And especially when you're alone in a place like Gilman Barracks, even if you shout for help and you want to run for safety, you know, it's still quite a distance. I can imagine how scary it would be, ghost or no ghost aside.
True. Yeah.
But when you put in the footsteps, and it was very clear to him that this was not going to be an outside sound. And when someone comes up to me with that kind of detailed confession, I know for a fact that he or she has been listening to Supernatural Confessions. Because some of the things that we love to debunk is, you hear the sound, you know that sound travels. So he or she was very clear to say, there were no surrounding sounds, no traffic, it was just this building, it could not have been from outside.
They have their own checklist lah.
But that to me shows that our audience grow with us together and we sort of evolve and mature.
They're trying to preempt the dissection. Like, don't say I didn't say.
Yeah.
But okay, so let's talk about what the visitors saw, right? You know, so the visitors saw some movement behind the white cloth. This is the white cloth that they were projecting images on, right? And then, you know, they thought like, oh, like someone was behind it. Could that have been air conditioning, for example? I mean, what is white cloth, right? So if it's not weighted down, it's bound to shift.
So if the wind blows, like aircon blows from the top, right, then you get like the wave thing.
Yeah, like you know when your aircon swivels, it swivels, right? And then just one gust of wind, or someone opens the door next door, and then there's a, you know, change in air pressure, right? And, you know, every time the storm is about to come, it looks like I'm haunted because everything starts to move for no reason, you know? But it's interesting that the visitors thought it was someone, So I kind of want to interview some visitors and say, please describe in detail, did you see a shape? You know, was there something? Was there a shadow to this? Did it stand there? What was the movement like? Was it passing by? Was it standing there in a creepy way?
Just standing there. Like, you know, then the cloth falls, it falls as if it was on a person.
Yeah, right? It's like that, right? So very interesting, right? So I'm trying to imagine what that felt like, you know, but I love the fact that it gave her a bonus lah. And everyone thought it was and then the next door, was it next door with the combing?
Within the same exhibition, because there were other students. So there was one other student who used the dresser.
Yeah. And that's creepy.
People say they could see this woman combing her hair. She goes like, yeah,
projection
mapping.
Gullible lah, your visitors. But I mean, okay, that is such a classic kind of haunting, right? You know, and I think that is the dresser that Eugene, you need to have in your museum.
I had the same thought.
100%, right? Yeah, just go and like, where did you find it? Where is it now?
I know where she bought it or where she got it from.
But has she still got it?
I don't know, but I've been to that place. It's in Bukit Timah area near the grandstand.
I know exactly where. I know
it's
exactly
entire
where.
Entire row warehouse.
Correct.
And if you go there,
everything
is,
got.
It is got quite
people combing hair.
Quite a feeling.
But that place is also moving out soon. So if you want to take anything from them, you better faster go and joke.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they're all gonna retire. Yeah, so faster.
That would be my perfect museum spot, John.
What, the whole grandstand?
No, not the grandstand. You know what I'm talking about, right?
The shops. Yeah, the row of shops. I mean, okay, so the idea of a haunted scaffolding is not surprising, right? In the sense that this is the kind of thing that would definitely have seen accidents. Would definitely have seen accidents, you know? And the fact that you've got something like that in storage, but you're not keen to use it. You know, that's already highly suspicious, right? You know, in fact, I wonder why the construction company is hanging on to it.
I think they were not trying to hold on to it. They were trying to get rid of it. They're trying to scrap it.
Okay. So I wonder what she did with the scaffolding after. Did she return it to them? No, don't return.
You keep.
You take free.
Yeah.
I wonder, you know, I seriously wonder. I wonder also, it makes me think, right, whether or not there were, those of you who remember Hong Kong in the 80s, 90s, right, when there was no scaffolding, no metal scaffolding, right? You know, if you know your Jackie Chan movies, you will know, right? all Hong Kong construction
the
is
bamboo
done with
rattan,
bamboo poles, right? That fantastic sort of scaffolding.
You can use it to fight.
Exactly, right? And I wonder, I mean, I'm sure accidents also happened, you know? And I'm wondering, has there ever been a story of the haunted bamboo scaffolding? If anyone has heard of one, please let me know. It's not even in the movies. There's no movie with a haunted scaffolding, although it sounds really atmospheric, right? And I'm actually wondering whether is it because bamboo itself has some sort of
warding
property
to ward off things, right? Because we use bamboo to ward off evil.
I wonder if that's not Chinese tradition though, is it?
That's a tradition I've heard. Like you plant bamboo outside to prevent spirits from coming in.
So maybe the use of bamboo scaffolding, even when the technology for aluminium and all that is available, right? They still carried on using bamboo for a long time. I'm wondering whether part of it is because, you know, there's a protective.
But I can debunk this.
Okay.
You know, in the 80s, there's a lot of stories about flying heads getting trapped in clothes hanging outside. That's why parents said, do not hang clothes outside at night. Some of the superstitions.
In Singapore,
right?
Okay, sure.
Yeah. Your teko make a what?
Bamboo.
So why the bamboo can trap the head? It should be repelling, right? So no.
Maybe our bamboo not pure. Singapore bamboo not pure.
Synthetic bamboo.
Synthetic bamboo. Are you sure our bamboo is the same bamboo? It's horribly thin. I would not want to build scaffolding out of our laundry decor.
Imagine Malayan says, live bamboo, yes, but probably not scaffolding. It no longer has life. The chi, the yang chi.
The chi is gone.
Yeah.
But do let us know if you've heard any stories about bamboo. These are like the uniquely Asian things that we must sort of like, you know, learn about.
Uniquely Asian.
Yeah, yeah, they are. Come on, yeah. They are. You know, so there must be a reason, right? You know, also because, I mean, when you think about it, right, the technology available for scaffolding was so much more convenient, so much more efficient, and probably safer, right? Because it's so much easier to walk on a piece of on an aluminium planking than on a, you know, what, 6-inch bamboo, right? You know, you should be able to go to work without having to be Jackie Chan, right? So, you know, and yet Hong Kong continued to use it for the longest time. Who knows, maybe they're still using it today.
Everyone in Hong Kong knows Kung Fu.
It's because they all scared Jackie Chan nowhere to fight. Eh? Yeah. So, do let us know. Anyone watching who's from Hong Kong, maybe you can tell us the truth, the secret.
Okay, but more on this confession, what I am thinking about is, let's assume, right? Let's take some of the what was said in confession at its face value, okay?
Mm. And wait. Thank you, Koshka, for your donation.
Oh, yes, Koshka. Thank you.
And there's a fox that says, hiya. Hey, hiya back.
You got my favorite number in there, 6 and 9.
Okay,
imagine Malayan is asking me to make sound. What sound you want me to make? What's the sound?
What sound you want me to make? I don't know what strange sound you
imagine
want.
Imagine Malayan says, please make the sound again. Is it a...
Oh no. This is Eugene's expanding toilet pipe sound. Okay?
Or sound of whales making out.
Mavis is saying, I heard that the bamboo is very yin.
Mm.
Is bamboo yin?
Well, put you down.
Interesting. But if bamboo is yin, then I'm sure they wouldn't want to use it for scaffolding. La. That's very sway. La. Mm. Interesting.
Okay.
Okay, yes. Anyway, you were dissecting.
Someone falling off. So now I'm going to try to empathize with the spirit.
Okay.
You fell off, you died. What would cause you not to move on, but to haunt the scaffold, that particular piece of scaffold? Right? And when you fix it up scaffold, of course, you know, accidents happen around this and they have managed to sort of triangulate it down to this one scaffold, right? This is the realm of hypothesis. Death is death. People die all the time. What would be a kind of death that would cause that spirit to attach itself to this particular scaffold? Did he fall onto it and get impaled? Did he fall and break? You know, something that when if the spirit haunts a place, right? From experience and from all these anecdotal experience from the stories that we get, there is usually some form of unfinished business, tragic death, or even murder, right? What's so special about this death that makes it different from other deaths? That it attaches itself to this scaffold and haunt it.
It was an accident. Accidents are hard to deal with, right? I mean, you know, you hear many stories of traffic accidents, for example, that leave hauntings behind, you know, because it's a very sudden, very abrupt, very pointless thing, right? I'm just going to the shop, going opposite to buy zicha, and then boom, I'm gone, you know, right? And that sort of the impossibility of making sense of that, right? If you were the person it happened to, and I said, this is why you died, this is how you died, you know, it's not something you can let go of easily, right? There's no logic to this.
Okay,
right?
I got a question for you then, John.
Mm.
Did he fall off this scaffold or did he land on this scaffold?
I don't think it would matter because it is the scaffolding that is why he was there, right? You know, I'm here because I'm building, right? I'm part of the construction, right? So the scaffolding is my closest sort of has the closest relationship to me, lah. Rather than I haunt the building I'm building, or I haunt the sidewalk that we are on, you know, I haunt the thing that I was standing on the whole time.
Mm.
You know, right? This is the thing that you are familiar with,
right? I've got a theory.
So whether or not the scaffold was the origin, or it could even have been the cause, the scaffolding could have collapsed. It could have caused the accident, or it could just have been there, you know, and you know, he expired near the scaffolding.
Either way,
still latch on to the thing that you know best.
Imagine Malayans have a theory.
Mm.
Maybe he fell off and got impaled and the bamboo clipped a piece of flesh. The rest of the body got cremated, so he attached himself to that last bit of flesh that's in the scaffold. Possible, because when I asked that question, again, you know, I don't have the all the answers. I'm not saying I know everything, but based on the stories that comes in, sometimes I just form patterns. I find that where people die creates, okay, this is the parascience part. upon the impact of death, that's when there is an explosion of energy. And that explosion of energy caused the imprint. And the imprint is where the haunting happens. So my guess would be if he fell from somewhere, that's not where he's going to be haunted. But the upon a point of impact that killed him, that take off his life force, where his physical vessel detaches from his soul, is where the imprint would have been most strongest.
I see, but that's where parascience contradicts with, I guess, just para. You know, because if you think about the spirit being one that's clinging to something, right? You know, that is emotionally sort of attached to life, right? Then it's not the point you land that is when you are emotionally attached. It's the point you jumped. Because that's the point of no return. That the other one is just the aftermath.
And that's right? Why you see recurring loops of people committing suicide. That whole scene happens from start to
yeah.
start.
So if for example, right, they are doing the jump again, not doing the land. You know, and I've so far never come across a story of the cement around the building being haunted. It's always the window they jump from. The balcony, the rooftop, not the spot on the pavement, you know, where they landed. Because by the time you land there, the panic and the fear is over.
Yeah, it's gone.
Yeah, it's over. Yeah, you know. And also, I mean, it's quite possible, right? Imagine Malayan's theory, right, about the fragment of the
bone or flesh somewhere inside. Behind. But
that's, we know that there are hauntings without, you know, CSI evidence. You know, you're right. It's not the flesh that traps them.
But I would like them to check it out. I've got a feeling, right, guys? You know, I want to believe, right, that if they check out this scaffold, they might find a piece of the disease inside. And if you remove it, it's gone.
Yeah, that would debunk like 70% of other hauntings.
I don't know how
confessions are now discounted because unless your CSI team can find DNA evidence, you know. I think that's leaning too much in towards the science.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, because again, we are talking about I believe in like sort of the sort of practicality, the fleshly sort of connection when you're talking about things like black magic. You know, because that thing becomes a conduit.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, I know that's why you need nail clippings, you need hair, you need, you know, that's a sort of spiritual DNA kind of thing, right? But if spiritual DNA is necessary for a haunting to even occur, then there'll be a lot less hauntings. You know? Yeah. I think that the event itself, right, the negativity and the violence of the event should be enough. You know, no need to have like, you know, like blood stains never removed lah, that kind of thing. You know, it's like that's just bad laundry, right? You know, bad housekeeping. You know,
So many people feel it's a residual memory, the residual haunting. It's residual, like, doesn't require any flesh or bone fragment. Darren also say he saw one opposite his block from living room window a few years back, and the other one nearby. Of course, he lives in Yishun, so we know that Yishun is where the weird people are.
I did not hear that.
Bruins 898. Sorry, go on, John.
When I was a little kid, right, living in Bedok South. This is Bedok South, right? I always thought, I was too young then to even know what a hantu was. Okay, but I remember someone told me this story, and I don't know whether it was just to scare me or whether it was a true story that was going around in the neighborhood. But someone had jumped from our block, right? Our block, and I was living on the 9th floor, right? And they say sometimes at night, you can still hear the scream, right? And one night, I freaked myself out because I was listening to, I can't remember what, right? I was just listening to like radio, right? And then just in the silence between whatever was on, I heard a scream. But sometimes the neighbors scream, right? Sometimes there's all sorts of things going on. But this scream was different because it was outside and it moved.
So it's like,
I could hear it. I could hear it getting louder and then fading away. And I wondered, at that point, I didn't know what to make of it. Subsequently, I wondered whether I was hearing a replay. Right? Next morning, I did check. Did anyone jump the night? No, nobody jumped. So what was I hearing? You know, did someone just throw a radio out the window? You know, or, you know, was I hearing a replay, right? Mm. I listened again. It didn't happen again. You know, probably because I was like so determined to hear it that it wouldn't happen again. You know, but I wonder, right? I wonder how many replays are happening around us at any given moment.
Yeah.
You know, and yeah, the ones with the gifts to pick it up, you know, life must be hard, yeah?
Yeah, man.
Cannot turn off the radio, you know.
Okay. Anyway, we need to get to the next confession. Now it's 10:45, but before that, let us take a quick break for a bit of message from our advertisers. Supernatural Confessions was created as a safe space for people to share their paranormal encounters. If you or someone you know has a strange encounter to share, we want to hear about it. You can type it to us, send us a voice memo, or even meet me for a face-to-face interview. Visit supernaturalconfessions.com for more info. But every time I hear you laugh, I get into trouble.
Yeah.
I think the rest are listening to an advertisement right now. There's a YouTube ad that's playing for them.
LY says, woo, first time here.
Hello, LY.
Hello. And apparently it's Paris Maitreya's birthday.
Hello, wow. Paris. Happy 25th birthday.
25th, man. 24th only. Nah. Ooh. Happy birthday, Paris. Yay.
Who are the November babies? Come on, guys. Let us know. We want to wish all the November babies one at one go. If you are born in the month of November, leave us a comment right now. We want to wish you. Let's wait a little bit for them to reply. Yeah. So,
all don't need to say.
Just a bit of info. Okay, this is from Camellia701. In Islam, a person who dies by suicide are punished by being forced to repeatedly die the same way they committed suicide. So if they die by jumping, they are forced to jump.
Oh, okay.
Forced to jump.
So that's a punishment, lah. Okay, so what in Chinese belief is the ti sheng gui, right? Sort of, you know, being trapped and forced to sort of find your replacement. In Islamic faith, is seen as a punishment, right? Mm. For the mortal sin of suicide. Oh, interesting. Okay. Interesting. Okay. Wow. Okay, I'm going to research more.
All the birthdays are coming
suddenly
in already.
Come. Wow.
Okay, let's go through line by line. Lemon 25. Imagine Malayan's birthdays next week. Nikki says November babies. Huang Shooting Ariel says 20th November. Mm. Anna Wong, my birthday was last Friday where we didn't have a show.
Oh, okay.
Melanie Pang, mine on the 26th.
Wow, okay.
Nikki's moi, mine will be on the 26th. Gracielle and Melanie, same day. June Hao Tan, born on the 12th.
Mm. Alsatian, you say I also celebrate my birthday today. That's suspicious. That's suspicious. You can celebrate your birthday anytime, but is it your birthday?
Yeah. Okay, so
happy birthday, November babies.
Just got
all
back.
The
must have missed out a lot. Satin Roses. No, you missed out the first confession. And a pretty good dissection, I feel, as well. Mm. But you have two more confessions to go to, and we'll end the show at 11:45 before going to today's confession, which is untold story of the crying ghost of Block 42. Remember, John, we walked past this building many times?
Yes.
This is Block 42.
If you come with us on the Walk with Hantu Changi tour, that's one of our stops. It's a bonus stop. Mm. Yeah.
Now, tonight we have a featured confession by Lex, and we have also a bonus confession, or rather a bonus feature after that. So, half an hour worth of your time after this FNL has ended to keep you occupied for all the way to Saturday morning. Please do watch it, because I feel that this particular confession hits a lot of nerves, a lot of nuances, in not just a supernatural confession way, but it's a fun listen. You know, I kind of like it. I interviewed this. I was there for the interview. I had two cameras set up. And without trying to spoil it for you guys, it's one of those, it's one of those confessions that you would find a keyword to talk about, and next time you go and meet a fellow confessor, you go, you say that keyword, they will understand where exactly you got that word from. It's one of those, right? And if you want to look at how the marks are being made and how these beautiful marks are now currently on sale, there's only one piece. One piece. There's no recreation. We can try to recreate it. It's never going to be the same. John, I got you one for your birthday. I got myself one as well. Yay. And there's, I think, five left. Five unique pieces left. And you want to see how I, Eugene Tay, who's talented in everything, tried to create a mark and fail. Watch the feature tonight. Okay? So, that aside.
Okay, come. Next confession.
Next confession is the Halloween horror I didn't ask for. Now, this one is, you guys who celebrate Halloween and what you like to do is to go rent costumes and go out, right? Dressed up. Do you know where the costume has been to or the wig that you wear? Where it has been on? So this confessor, goes by the name Charlie, rented a costume.
Okay. And we don't give away too much. Let's not give away too much.
Yes, yes. Okay. And now, on to the confession narrated by the Prince of Paranormal, Eugene Tay. Hello, Eugene and John. I have a confession that happened to me a few weeks ago. It started a few days before Halloween, and I think the haunting is still taking place now. My problem started when I rented a costume for Halloween. I would rather not reveal which shop it is because I don't want them to lose business because of this story. Also, I feel it's not their fault. They probably didn't know. I rented an Egyptian outfit to wear for my corporate Halloween dinner and dance event. It wasn't my first time, but it's probably my last time that I rent costumes. The whole process was fairly straightforward. You go to the shop, pick up the items you want, pay for it, collect it on a certain date, return it by a certain date, and collect your deposit. My costume came with a wig, a headgear, and a scepter along with it. I was going for the Ak Sun Namun look from the movie The Mummy Returns, and my shoulder-length curly hair wasn't going to be of any help. The costume came in a plastic bag, which I left in the corner of my room near the wardrobe area. The wardrobe is designed to be a semi-walk-in wardrobe, and the clothes display area is not directly visible from my bed. The plastic bag sits at the corner of the area out of sight. At night, when I was sleeping or trying to sleep, I heard the plastic bag rustling. It sounded like a rat was trying to get out, or a cat was playing with a plastic bag. Curious, I turned on the room light and went to investigate, but the noise stopped completely. I turned off the lights and went back to bed, and the noise came back. It was like this, back and forth for a few times. Eventually, I just ignored it and went to sleep, thinking it was probably just a lizard and it would be gone in the morning. But the shock came the next morning when I saw the costume laid out nicely on the floor, out of the plastic bag. I checked with my daughter and the maid, but no one had came into my room during the night. I didn't think too much about it and carried on my day as usual. I packed the costume back in the bag and left for work. That evening when I came back, the costume was laid out on the ground again, just as I had found it that morning. This time, instead of picking the costume, I just left it as it is. I needed to use it the following day anyway. I was going to unpack it myself. The lizard had helped me with it. That night, something strange happened. I can't tell if I was dreaming or if it's something I had really seen. I thought I saw the costume standing in the shadowy corner of my wardrobe. At first, I wasn't scared. Then I took a double take and realized someone was in my room in full costume. I turned on my side table lamp and thought I saw the costume collapse into a heap. Okay, to be fair, even if I cannot confirm that I had seen someone there or that the costume fell when I turned on the lights, how did you explain my costume moving from being laid out on the floor on the other side of the room to being piled up in a heap? Either way I looked at it, I just couldn't rationalize it. My theory of the lizard is slowly fading away. That night, I slept in my daughter's room across the hallway. I could hear the sounds of someone walking around in my room, heavy footsteps, and of door opening and closing. I just ignored it and willed myself to sleep. Next morning, I went back to my room and found everything was in order. Nothing had moved. The side table lamp was still on. I concluded that last night's event must be my imagination. It's the Halloween season after all. I've been binge-watching horror movies on Netflix and listening to Supernatural Confessions Friday Night Live. So to be spooked out the way I did was understandable. I put on a costume, did my own makeup, and attended the company's event. This part is where the fog in the story took place. What I remembered and what my friends remembered were totally different. To be honest, I did drink, but I don't think I drank nearly as much to behave in this fashion. What I remembered was that the party went on as normal, and then I woke up in a hotel bed, totally sober, surrounded by four of my colleagues. This was how it happened, according to them. First, I complained about a headache and a pain in my neck. Then I started to just look down and not speak. The girls took me to the toilet because they thought I was unwell. When I looked into the mirror, I screamed and asked, "Who was that? Who was that?" Then I got hysterical and started clawing at my face. When the girls grabbed my hands and tried to stop me, I broke free and ran off, screaming, "I don't want to die!" I also kept asking, "Why did you take my child away from me?" The way I behaved was as if someone was chasing me, and I could see things no one else could. My manager said that this was not normal and instructed my colleagues to hold me down while he requested a room from the hotel. That's where they brought me to and started praying over me. One of my colleagues, a devout Christian, played hymns on the phone and prayed over me. The others joined in and did what they could. That helped calm me down. It was only when my wig came off that I came back to my senses, they said. The colleague who led the prayer said that she felt the outfit I had worn had an attachment. The entire scene took place in about under 1 hour. Some people thought I was just drunk, but those who were present and close enough said they were frightened. Frightened of my behavior and look in my eyes. They said it wasn't me. Drunk also won't act like that. And these people I had worked with and played with for many years, they knew me well. After I rested a bit more and everyone was sure I was back to my senses, we all went back to the party and ended the night without the news spreading to other departments, thankfully. So Eugene and John, what do you think happened to me?
Wow, this one is intriguing. Very intriguing.
How?
Okay, first I must say, right, earlier we said that, you know, if you are desperately working towards your final year project, and you know your scaffolding is creaking in the gallery, you will still push through, right? Because you have a deadline, right? On the other hand, if it's just a company party and my costume is standing up in my bedroom on its own, I'm not going to your party, okay? Or I'm just gonna wear a bed sheet and say I'm a ghost. I'm not putting that costume on regardless, even if I can convince myself the next morning that I imagined it. Why would I put myself through the risk of imagining it again? Right? You know? So I wonder what allowed you this person to rationalize around that haunting, right? I mean, okay, rustling paperback, all that I think is acceptable. Okay, but the moment I see the costume stand out on its own and then collapse in a heap, not where I placed it previously, that's it. That's it. I'm returning the costume. You know? So that's kind of hard for me to sort of wrap my head around. It's almost like, I mean, okay, this is the reason why we have horror movies, right? Because people get scared and then they still carry on doing things, right? So I'm curious what kind of garangness, you know, convinced you to carry on, right? But one interesting thing stood out for me, which is that during the exorcism, shall we say, right, in the free hotel room, okay, that was given by the very generous hotel, the person said, as soon as my wig came off. So I'm wondering, is it the costume or is it the wig? Because the possession also started with a headache. Right? And then in the mirror, right?
Yeah.
He was clawing at his face. Right? So I'm wondering whether the wig might be the focus.
And not the rest of the costume, just the wig,
and not,
right?
Not the whole costume.
I'm with you on that, John, as well. I think from just the story alone, when the wig fell off, it came at a normal. To me, it sounds more like the wig was the issue.
Yeah. I'm tempted to say that, right? Because the wig is a more, intimate aspect of the costume, right? Rather than the rest of it,
yeah.
Right? You know, and who knows? If it was, let's say, a human hair wig, you know, rather than a sort of a synthetic wig, then, you know, that's even more creepy.
No,
right?
But this is a costume shop, lah. You synthetic hair wig will probably more like it.
More likely, lah. Yeah. More likely. But, but that's also the thing, right? You know, so, like, part of me wants to imagine, something ancient and historical, you know, happened in this costume, right? Some high priestess had her baby stolen, you know, but to be very frank, you know, if it's rented from a local costume store, then it probably was made just a couple of months ago, you know, and probably made for, like, you know, a JC musical or something, and then now it's rented, right? So it does not have very creepy origins, you know, but if it was a wig that is paired with the costume, right, then that wig could have a much longer history. That's why I'm also leaning much more towards the wig, because it's unlikely that the costume has a colorful history, but it's quite possible that the wig has been around a long time and been around and, you know, worn by, you know, maybe worn by someone not even as a costume, but worn by someone regularly, right? You know, and so it's likelier than the costume lah to be haunted, right? You know, but then if that's the case, why the laying out of the costume? For example, you know, why play the plastic bag, you know, if it was the wig? So that's one question. And then the bigger theory I have, you know, which I lean towards more and more now that I'm talking about it, is that maybe it's neither the costume nor the wig. It's something that wants her, and it was just using these items because they're new, something you just brought home, right? And it's just playing with these things, you know, to reach out to her, right? As part of the manifestation. But it's actually, you know, she's got the attachment, not the costume. Is that possible, right? What do you think?
I think, John, this particular confession has so many layers. I dare not say I know for a fact, but each layer by its own, I have some form of hypothesis. But when you combine all these hypotheses together, it can become a bit confusing, but I'm going to try my best, okay? So, if it was the wig, which was what it sounded like, I would be more likely to believe that it's from the hair of a deceased or from someone's head that you've taken real human hair from. And those kind of wigs cost a lot. Those are not the kind of wigs you find at a costume shop. Costume shop will buy synthetic one that lasts maybe all of 2 wears, 3 wears, and then you discard. So when you say that the wig goes through many different usage, I know because I bought a wig for
oh, that's definitely haunted. Yeah, that's definitely haunted. Yeah. Oh yeah, sure got ghosts on. Yeah.
So,
no ghosts want to be caught dead in that. Okay.
Right. So this is synthetic wig. This is cheapo wig, right? And I don't think it's from human hair. So I'm going to discount the wig part a bit. So we talk about costume then. Costume. Now I'm a bit more likely to believe that it may come from the costume, only because I've known people and I've heard stories of people who rent costume and do funky things with it, usually intimate stuff. And I wouldn't put it past them to actually go and run rituals with it. Now, one thing that a lot of people don't know is in hotel rooms, for a fact, guys, a lot of people go into hotel rooms, budget hotels and all that, to do rituals. Rituals. Mm. Not for sex or those hourly sex hotels. They go there to do rituals. Cleansing. They go there to do exorcism. Why? Because they don't want to do it at home. They want to do it outside.
Of course. Yeah. Mm.
In some privacy. So they'll book it to a hotel and they do cleansing and exorcism there.
So next maybe time that's why hotels are 81 and you hear screaming, it could be very good sex or a very successful exorcism.
Yeah. So there could be a case where people are wearing costume and getting involved into this sex ritual thing. Again, I'm just really stretching, right? I'm really stretching.
What is this strange Egyptian ritual that's happening in a Singapore hotel?
I don't know. Yeah. So
which branch of black magic requires you to be an ancient Egyptian high priest?
So if it's not a costume, then what I'm likely to believe is there's already something in her room.
Maybe it's the plastic bag.
Haunted plastic bag. You're going with that.
It was the plastic bag that started rustling first, right? So that's
so the plastic bag is haunted, lah.
The plastic bag is haunted, and then it transferred itself because hey, when you go to the rental shop, the plastic bags are recycled. Okay, so you don't know who returned, don't know what blood stain thing in that plastic bag, and then the plastic bag sat there, and then like, oh, convenient. Okay, no lah. Okay, so wig, costume, plastic bag. We don't know, right? Plastic bag also have their role to play in a ritual, right? You have to carry all your candles in something, right?
That'll be the first time I heard it, man. but more deliberately, okay. Could it be something that was already in her room,
in her semi walk-in wardrobe?
Yeah, right? And then when this costume came in, it was just right place, right time.
Sort of like an Annabelle situation, lah, right? Where the spirit wanted to reach out to you, right? If you follow the Western sort of pattern of demonic possession, right? You know, the infestation is a very important phase because that's where they undermine you, right? Mm. You know, through repeated acts of, consider it like supernatural terrorism, lah, right? They try to scare you using different strategies to weaken you, right? So what better way to weaken you than to take something you just brought home that you have no familiarity with and turn it into something scary, you know, rustling.
And that's important because there's nothing familiar to you. There is no bond or protection or no energy around it. It's plain.
Yeah.
If anything that can be possessed or taken advantage of, it will be that new item.
Yeah, which is why, for example, you know, if you follow the Annabelle series, right, you know, the demon was already targeting them, but it's the doll that just was picked up, freshly brought home, that became a very useful vessel because it's a doll to which they have no positive attachments. Right? It doesn't belong to anyone. There's no way for them to rationalize it any other way than to feel that, oh, this alien object came with a spirit. You know? So they can imagine the kind of conclusions you will draw, right? Which are exactly the kind of conclusions we are drawing as well, right?
Yeah.
So it makes perfect sense if there's something in your room or in your house or in your life that's after you, it will take advantage of the new things in your home.
Graciel has a very nice theory.
Mm.
If clothes hang for quite some time, spirits can occupy.
Oh.
I was once advised by my teacher to just fold my clothes instead.
Interesting. Yes, I can imagine that. Wow, so it has to be a costume shop where the clothes are not often rented. Maybe the Egyptian high priest is not a popular outfit. So next time you rent something, please check, was it returned recently? Then it's safer. Right? If someone says, oh, no one has rented this for years, please stay away.
Paris Matria Lim says, massage costume and wig before wearing.
Yes, don't just Febreze. Must full on sage the thing.
Oh, just Palo Santo it where you can get it from us, lah. You know, ideal. Let us know if you want a Palo Santo. If you're gonna rent a costume, we've got you covered, guys. Don't worry, we keep you safe.
I mean, okay. So earlier they were everyone in the chat was speculating about the amount of laundry that happens to these costumes between rentals, right? And I think it varies from shop to shop, lah. But it depends also how much you're willing to pay, lah. Right? The cheap shops, I guess their turnover is reliant on speed and efficiency, so there's not much time. right? Today return straight away, 1 hour later, ran out already. Yeah, we got time to dry clean, right? Especially Halloween, come on, right? So they may be forced to only dry clean after several rentals. Mm. Right. So that is, it is true. It is true that it may be full of, you know, all sorts of bodily fluids, you know. But again, right, to me, the idea of, I mean, okay, it's a possession. So it went from haunting to possession.
And she was very clear to say that she was not drunk. And when she came back, the wig came off, she was sober. So we're going to go with the assumption, to take the confessor's word for it, that it was not alcohol intoxication related. Mm. Yeah.
So if it did happen, this is a case of something that wanted a vessel. Mm. Right? So its agenda was much more sort of specific. Right, but, and long term.
But the spirit was also very confused. It doesn't sound like a malicious demonic possession where it knew what it wanted. It was trying to take over.
Oh no, quite possibly not demonic. Mm. You know, could be any. Yeah, could be something. I mean, there's a story there, right? We have only a few fragments, right? There's something about a baby. You know, there's something. There's not enough, I guess, to sort of figure this out. Fortunately for the person, it was not a very resilient spirit. It let go, I think, you know, without powerful exorcism, right? Just amateur exorcism already can already. So thank goodness for that, right? It could have been much worse, right?
You know, John, I'm going to tell you this, right?
Ah.
My own story from my own book, Supernatural Confessions, in the early part, there were a couple of off-on harmless possessions that led to 2 years full worth of very scary event.
Yeah.
I am feeling that what this confessor has experienced was the tip of the iceberg.
So it's not the costume. It's something that's might carry on.
Bigger. And for her to have that, you know, where am I? Why are you killing me? A lot of things don't add up. Like, I'm only getting my facts from that confession.
Yeah.
But to me, a lot of these details that I want to know is not adding up. And I don't even think that the confessor herself had the details. And in the very first line, you realize that the line that she said.
I think this.
Hello, Eugene and John. I have a confession that happened to me a few weeks ago, October, Halloween. It started a few days before Halloween, and I think the haunting is still taking place now.
Yeah.
Mm. Right? Let's assume costume has returned, haunting is still there.
So I'm curious to know what symptoms, not symptoms, but what phenomena has carried on after the returning, right? You know, that leads her to think that the possession, the haunting is still carrying on. You know, that's very interesting. I'm also very curious to know what she did after this event, because if she were to accept what her colleagues say, right? You know, even though she has no recollection of it, but if you accept what your colleagues say, then I would be, you know, bathing in sage. You know, I would be consulting a shifu.
Maybe she's not there yet because she doesn't know. Remember, most of us are not. We don't have 1-800 Sifu on our line, but she did say that she is a fan of FNL. She listened to her. So,
then
Charlie,
you know what number you need. You know what number you need.
Charlie, the number you need to call is +65 9459 4931. I would love to get in touch with you again. And if you want to meet up for coffee, I would love to hear the rest of the story and how things have turned out for you. Okay.
If you really do feel that, you know, it's not over, then please don't take risks, right? Please don't take risks. You know, there's no such thing as too much sage. So, you know, I think just even if it's for peace of mind, right? You know, I'm also very curious.
This is my sage. There's nothing like too much sage. This is like huge as bongs.
Burn all. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering whether it's a very practical but also quite random thought. But didn't any of her colleagues video it on their phone?
She didn't say.
In this modern day and age, no one in
the
room.
Maybe someone did, but no one told her they did. Right?
Then are you all pleased? Okay, so please ask your friends. Did any of you video it? Because you need to know, right? You need to know. And probably if you do go to see a shifu, they will need something to refer to. So please dig up the evidence.
Right.
Hotel CCTV. CCTV. See, this is where you have to go and hunt down the hotel security. As they took you out of the toilet, right? And you were screaming about the child, I'm sure. You know. So, I mean, if there's any possibility that something happened that might continue to happen, then please take no risks. Mm. Okay, yeah, that is our public service announcement today.
Well, you know the number to call. And now the time is 11:30. We're going to take a short break for some message from our advertisers and then get back to our final story. Ooh. Where John will regale us with a story about a rented car. But for now, if you want to be a Patreon of the Supernatural Confessions, this is how to be. Thank you for listening to the Supernatural Confessions podcast. If you are enjoying the show and would like to support our efforts, you can help by giving us a 5-star review or by becoming a patron by signing up for a monthly membership fee that starts from as low as $5. Check out the perks at patreon.com/supernaturalconfessions. That's patreon.com/supernaturalconfessions. Or if you feel like showing a simple gesture of appreciation, you can buy us a cup of coffee or two at buymeacoffee.com/superconfess. And now, let's get back to the show. Okay.
Ooh.
All right, John, are you ready?
Yes, I like this one.
Is there some background info about this story?
Mm.
Okay, this one, titled, God People Die Before. Deliberately vague. But many of you rent cars, especially to drive up to Malaysia. Now, I've got a lot of mixed feelings about this one, John. I'm so dying to hear what you have to say about this. But for now, let's take it away. This was Confession by Ang, read by Jonathan Lim. God People Die Before.
It was one of the super weekends, and my wife decided we should take the kids on a short vacation to Malaysia. But because this was quite a last-minute decision, we had trouble finding a car that fit our budget with the usual service providers. So we asked around in our estate group chat if anyone had Kang Tao that we could borrow from. Someone suggested the owner of a workshop who usually had spare cars on standby for their customers. And if it's available, maybe we could borrow it. Thankfully, we managed to get one. The only downside was that the pickup point was far from our home. But that was okay. Having a car is better than not. The car was 9 years old and due for scrap soon. Other than the sour, rancid smell in the car upholstery, everything else worked fine. The added benefit of renting from a car workshop is that if the car broke down, we could reach out to one of the owner's friends who owns a workshop in Malaysia. So we departed Singapore early on a Friday morning, around 3 a.m., to beat the holiday traffic. We crossed the causeway without issues. Before we left, my wife Febreze'd the entire car, and we had 2 air fresheners that did the trick. The holiday went well. We were going to a few places. Melaka was our first stop, and we stayed at an Airbnb. Because we were heading off the next day, we didn't want to unload everything from the car. But that night, my wife was looking for her hairdryer, which was in the other luggage in the car. So I went down to the car. I could see the silhouette of a person sitting in the driver's seat of the car. I double-checked the car number and I wasn't mistaken. But clearly, from where I was standing, I could see a figure seated there. And I had a feeling the figure knew that I could see it. I walked closer to the car, hoping that I'm mistaken. But nearly 10 steps away, the silhouette just vanished. I tell you, that moment, I just froze. I could see the seat and the headrest clearly now, when before, it was just a patch of blackness. I can't even call it a shadow. It was a solid black mass in the shape of a person. I quickly grabbed the entire luggage and I went back up. I decided to keep this from my wife because there's no need to alarm her. Also, I couldn't be sure myself. Next day, we drove off in the afternoon, and by nightfall, we arrived at Genting. This was the second day of our drive, and we noticed something. After 7 p.m., the pungent smell in the car would come back, and no matter what we did, the smell would still be overwhelming, but it would come and go. The children were excited and couldn't sleep, so we wanted to take a drive to KL, which was about an hour away, but the car simply wouldn't start.
Regretfully, the family got out of the car and we went back to the hotel. I was feeling damn pissed at this time. I stayed by the car and rang the number of the workshop that my contact had given me. But he said that there's a huge jam on the roads and that the mechanic could only make it down approximately 4 hours later. He suggested coming in the morning instead. I didn't have much option at this time, so I had to wait. I turned to look at the car as I was hanging up the phone, still recalling my experience from the previous night. This time, I saw the same silhouette grinning at me. I was closer to the car this time, and immediately, it just vanished from sight. I ran upstairs, and when my wife asked if everything was okay, I said I was just tired. The next morning, when the mechanic came to try the car, it could work with no issues. I told him to give it a thorough check because I was going to be driving back today and I didn't want to have any issues midway. He took one look at the car number plate and said, "Oh, jizia," meaning this one, and told me to quickly just drive back to Singapore and return it. According to the mechanic, this car got people die before. My wife looked at me aghast. I looked shocked. The mechanic just laughed and said, "没问题的, no problem." Then he left, and we drove back to Singapore as carefully as we possibly could. Okay, first of all, don't take risks. Don't take risks. Get another car. Please get another car. Don't take risks, okay? Just abandon the damn car there, okay? He can go and fetch it himself if he's so confident that it's safe. You know, I would not have take someone with your family, leh. I cannot, okay? Yeah, I think.
But you know what I like about all these three confessions? People who rented this item just don't have an option anymore to return it or to take another alternative.
There's always an option.
You know, it's the bopian. You know, like, since everything is, I mean, yes, true, there's haunting, but it's the kind of haunting that isn't hours long or days long. It's just like a split second. And the human mind is able to rationalize it away and say, yeah, maybe it's nothing. Maybe it's my imagination. And just continue the day as normal as possible.
Yet, if you were in a cinema and watching that same scene, you would be yelling at the screen, "Don't take a risk, fool." So please, every now and then when weird things happen to you, please step out of your own head and look at it as if it was a horror movie, and you will hear the voice shouting, "Please change car, change costume." Okay, I mean, okay, I've heard lots of stories about haunted cars, and they're common, right? And in GM, we saw a wonderful film about haunted cars. Remember The Mechanic?
The Mechanic,
one of our favorites.
Malaysian production.
Yeah, you know, and it's all about cars that got people died before, right? Mm. You know, and, you know, it's a common enough thing, right? Because if an accident happens, then the car is very much a target, right? Mm. For the attachment to happen, you know? But I tell... The thing about this is that it's such... I mean, okay, maybe because it's a car and it's bigger, right? And it's the things that happen with cars are much more violent, right? Yeah. So to me, this one scares me the most.
Mm.
You know, more than the scaffolding, more than the Egyptian costume. You know, this one definitely, to me, sounds like whatever happened, whatever history there was, you know, was violent, right?
Mm.
You know, and if you are of the kind who believes that violent accidents will collect more violent accidents, there could be more than one, right? So we don't know, right? Somewhat there's a reputation because even the Malaysian mechanic knew about it.
Mm.
Right. So first of all, that's a horrible scammer that you that you borrowed the car from. Okay. First of all, he shouldn't be renting that car out. But I think the moment you know that there's a history, get out. Mm. You know, this is no novice thing. You know, how many people have done that before, right? I tell you, what would you have done? Would you have taken that drive back to Singapore in that car?
I speak from experience for this one, John, like where I was in a situation where the hotel room was haunted. And I couldn't get out. There was Well, I mean, if I really wanted to, I suppose I could go down bank table, get a change of hotel room. I could, right? But, you know, when you're in that kind of position where there were some hauntings, for mine, there were a couple of incidences. One was in Hotel of the Golden Horse, where the TV turned on by itself, water turned on by itself. My then girlfriend was possessed, or she was behaving weird. The right decision would be, screw this shit, go down to the hotel room, even if I was just clad in boxer shorts and just bang table and say, I want a new room right now. But at that point, I did not. I just stayed till morning. If you ask me why I did, I probably couldn't tell you why exactly I did it. I think there was probably no... I mean, it's very easy to be on the audience side and go like, no, I'll just change, right? But at that point in time, it didn't occur to me. And this other incident where I was in Maldives. I was in the resort where I was showering, then the key tap turned off. Remember, I told you about this story before? I was showering, then the tap turned off by itself. Then the light went off, right? Haunting level, right? And then I stayed on to sleep, and then I had a dream of a creature. Then on the bed beside me, when I opened my eyes, the bed sheet moved. You know, I should have just walked out, go to the counter, change my room. But at that point in time, I just sat outside my room. And if you ask me why, I can't explain. So I think a lot of times when we are in a state of shock and horror and we are dealing with a phenomenon that our brain cannot rationalize, we just go into a zone where we keep trying to find normalcy in things. Does that make sense?
No, it doesn't.
Doesn't it? No. Yeah.
Because why your fight or flight response so low?
There's fight, flight, and freeze. I just froze.
That's quite bad. That's quite bad. I don't think that these... okay, so if you say that it's... Right. Okay. I can buy that, you know, inactivity, right? Inactivity and sort of not being able to discern what's a wise choice, what's a safe choice can happen when you are in a state of shock. But none of these hauntings so far led to shock. They're scary. They're not shocking. You know, they're just scary, right? Which means they're, I think, of the right level to warn you to get out of there, and you are not unable to get out of there. It's not traumatizing yet. All right. Nothing, you know, you saw something in the front seat of the car, then it disappeared. To me, it's like, yeah, that's what warnings are, you know, right? It's not as if the thing leapt at you, you know, or like, you know, it's freaking sitting on your shoulders, like shutter like that, you know? I mean, that can lead to shock, right? You know, but I would say these are, you know, on the way there, on the way to something shocking, you have the chance to get out, you know? Why would you not get out, right? You know? If you say it's Eugene that is happening to, then I would say secretly he wants more things to happen. But, you know, I do not advise that for most other people, right? I mean, seriously, if you're in trouble, you know, and you don't, I mean, if you have no options, that's fair enough.
Yeah.
Right. But I really do think that, you know, so this is me again, wanting to remind everyone that there's always a bigger story. There's a bigger picture. So even if you are seeing something that you think you can rationalize away, you might only be seeing the tip of the iceberg, right? The haunting that just happened to you might be the beginning of something much worse. So don't dismiss it. Don't go, oh, it's just someone in the front seat. Oh, it's just the clothing standing out on its own. It could lead to,
worse, all sorts
of horrors. Yeah, exactly.
But
right?
Thankfully, Ang managed to get back home safely and tap us this confession. Yeah.
But that car is still there, being loaned out to other people.
No, he was 9 years old. It's probably going to be scrapped soon.
Okay,
so maybe, maybe.
Just as well. You know, but I mean, oh man, you know, please look after yourselves. These three confessors. are risk takers. Okay. I mean, of course, we are grateful to them, because otherwise we do not have exciting confessions to share.
I want you guys to text me in the comment section. Like, you know, if you guys have been in a scary situation, this is only for people who have experience, okay? Those who don't experience, and there's nothing for you to comment, but for those who have experienced something, how did you react? Like, did you run away at the first sight? Because I'm very curious to know how most people will react to hauntings. Like, I mean, just stay there, because I did. I stayed there. Not because I wanted stories. I just didn't know what to do.
Remember when we had the hotel episodes?
Yeah.
They all went down and banged table, right?
Yeah.
They all demanded to change room.
Yeah.
Right? So that's common sense. Common sense. Someone, you are Singaporean. Yeah.
Complain. Go ahead. Complain first.
Yes, complain. Right? Fight, flight, or complain.
Fight, flight, complain.
These are your instincts, okay? Just stay there is not an option.
God.
Right? So, do let us know. If you have been in a situation where you were sort of unable to make the sensible choice, please let us know, because I think it's important that we understand the psychology behind it, you know? But, the only reason I can imagine that they didn't do what was sensible was that they didn't think that much of it at that moment.
Yeah.
You know, that now telling it, you know, out of context, all we see is the grass part. You know, but if you are stressed and the kids are screaming and your wife is nagging and you have to get back because you have to go back to work tomorrow, what's a shadow in the front seat?
Most hauntings are split seconds long. You're not haunted by it until you tell the story. When it happened to you,
grows, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
So maybe it was possible for him to tell himself, maybe I imagined it.
Yeah.
You know, and so in proportion, it was easier to dismiss.
Yeah.
You know, just as the costume one, right? You know, there was the possibility that, you know.
Because when it happened at that point in time, in the split second, you're not going to take that one split second and then say, it must be the hantu, and then cancel vacation. But it's only after a series of things happen, you come home, you type it out to me.
In retrospect. Yeah.
In retrospect.
It's quite possible. So it is possible that, you know, in that split second moment, it was easier to doubt these phenomena. La. It's quite possible, right? It's quite possible, you know?
Wow. Interesting, huh? Interesting. It sounded very interesting.
Still, I want to say, please learn to doubt the phenomena, okay? Learn to look out for the signs. Don't wait until you cannot possess, then you realize, there's a ghost here.
Always go. When in doubt, ladies and gentlemen, in doubt, it must be the hantu.
Okay, this is where that slogan is important. Okay, it must be. All right. I think, we should err on the side of caution. Okay, correct. No, I think we should err on the side of panic. Err on the side of panic. Whatever it is, scream ghost and get out of there. Okay, worry about it later.
John, I got a question for you.
What
do you call a rented car without a sense of humor?
Without a sense of humor. Don't know. What?
A bad mobile.
I think I can guess where this came from.
Thank you very much to DJ Jason Lim. You guys late today. Huh? What happened to him? Bella also late. He's late. Did Bella and Jason went on a date tonight? Was that when they both came back at the same time?
In the bad mobile. Oh my goodness.
For me, I always on the side of the hantu, right? I'm thinking, right, could the hantu stall the car that night because they didn't want them to go out and maybe there was a potential accident? The ghost did not want this family to be in his position. I don't know. It's hypothesis, right?
You know, there's definitely no question of it being... I mean, from what we've heard, there's no evidence that it's malicious.
Mm.
Right? It's just sitting there, right? It's just sitting there in the front seat, you know? And yes, you know, why did it stop you from going to KL? You know, well, maybe it just saved you the jam.
Maybe.
You know, but it could have saved you from an accident, right? We don't know, right? We don't know. So... And in fact, if you had thought that way, then I would say, okay, you're safe to travel back all the way to Singapore.
I don't know. I'm just this with no facts, whatever, but it's just, could it be? Because along we talked about supernatural.
Absolutely could be. Yeah. It could have been a guardian, right? It could have been a guardian, you know? It could even have been appearing in the front seat to warn you not to use the car.
There have been so many stories like that. Remember the Earthbound books, the supernatural book, where this girl saw a ghost in the lift and she didn't want to step inside, but the lift had a crash. Yeah. So
it could be a spirit using the haunting to give you a sign, which you promptly ignored because you dismissed it. So either way, in case it's a bad spirit, run. In case it's a good spirit telling you to run, also run. Either way, just run. You'll worry about it later.
So, ladies and gentlemen, must be the hantu, should be the mantra that you think of. You know, when in doubt, it must be the hantu. Save yourself. You never know.
Yeah, no, you got it. Better be the hantu.
better be the hantu.
So yeah, I think that's today's moral from all three stories.
Yeah.
If your rented costume stands out on its own, must be the hantu. Wow, I tell you, very interesting. Very interesting. I'm trying to imagine myself in any of these confessions. And if it was me, you will have no confession. Just the first paragraph. Plastic bag started making noise.
I'm out of
End
there.
End of story. End of story. Plastic bag flew out the window. After that. Okay. Strange smell in the car that couldn't go away. We grab all the way there.
Yeah.
There will be no confession. Okay. Yeah. I mean, you know, but maybe it's because I've heard so many stories that I cannot possibly, you know, sort of, I cannot possibly put myself through all of
that.
Yeah,
yeah.
You know, I treat every ghost story as a warning.
I mean, like you would think, right, listening to after thousands of confessions on podcasts, FNL and everything else, you would be wiser when it comes to such hot things.
Correct. So please, okay, watch more FNL. Get your kids watching FNL as soon as possible. Okay, this is very important for them. Okay, when they're a small baby, you just give them the iPad and just put it on FNL playlist. Okay, they'll grow up learning all these very important
things. Baby shark,
No, Paw Patrol, all that. Forget it, okay?
You should be listening to, are we meeting?
The education that they need, okay? National education. This is officially a Ministry of Supernatural Affairs announcement. The new pillar of total defense is spiritual defense.
Hooyah! Widya Bunwell.
Widya, yeah. Alamak, I'm late. Must rewind later. Yes.
What's all this even being late today? I thought it was just, you know, Jason and Bella went on a date. Is it a three-way
something
date?
Something going on today, man? But I'm so glad you joined us anyway. Thank you. You're also in time for Eliex's awesome, awesome confession.
Vina! Oh! Vina is here. Okay, guys, I got to go and show something. This is very important. But John, I need to pee. I've been holding my pee for the last 1 hour already. Can you entertain the crowd or I go and pee first?
Okay, so this is Vina who made Eugene remember that he needs to pee. Hi, Vina. So Helen J. Goh is correct. Yes, just run. Okay. For those of you who came late, what we were talking about today was three confessions of people who borrowed or rented something, and then that something had maybe an attachment, a history, something supernatural going on. And the lesson that we seem to have gathered from all three is that they probably should have returned the item much earlier, but for some reason they hung on to the item. Thanks to that, we got a good confession. But they put themselves at risk. So we want to announce as the Ministry of Supernatural Affairs, don't take risks, okay? If you've got sign of something weird going on, please call Eugene right away. Okay? Actually, I'm quite sure that Eugene would love to have that Egyptian costume and that wig inside the Haunted Museum, his Museum of Cursed Objects. So please let us know if that was your confession. Tell us where you got the costume from. Maybe you can buy it from them. The scaffolding, I think, a bit troublesome. Lah. And the car, no hope. But at least you can get the Egyptian costume. Hey, Eugene. Idea.
What?
Huh? You must find out where the costume shop was and buy that Egyptian costume and the wig
for the museum.
For your museum, yeah. In fact, that can be what you wear as a welcome. You can be the high priestess.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, speaking of Vina.
Yes, Vina.
John, I gave you this, remember?
Yes. Oh, I love it. Old school calendar, yay. Hey, why is he going off to pee again?
For those who do not know how old school calendar looks like, it's a call.
All right, man. Gen Z, pay attention. Okay.
This one, John, give them a bit more information about this calendar and the history of it.
So the fun about this type of calendar is that you tear away each day, right? You just tear, right? So you test. So every year you get one thick one, and then slowly you watch it get thinner and thinner and thinner and thinner. There's something very satisfying about that. At the same time, it also gives you a lot of very useful recycled paper to use.
Right? Correct, correct.
Every day you get one extra piece because the bag is always empty and it's always blank. So you can write all sorts of things on it, right? Of course, it's not environmentally friendly, lah, unfortunately.
I've been looking... I mean, this is kind of stuff that we see in vintage shop, heritage shop. And for me to see it in 2024...
Brand new.
Okay. And I so found exciting. Out Vina and her family is printing this. And that's this.
Yay.
You know this one? This one?
Okay. Oh, yes. Medicated oil.
Hey, you don't bluff, lah. I see my statistics. I know most of you are in a 35 to 55 range, lah. I don't pretend you all don't know, okay? So, you all know what cleaner this is. And I have with me 5 copies left. Very, very generous of Vina to pass it to me. And she says, I don't think anyone will want it.
Now, I
don't just want to give this away because I think there is some value to this. But at the same time, I don't want to take the money from you guys because it's not mine to take. It's from Vina. And Vina would not accept a single cent from me. I am offering this to you guys. Anybody who wants this on the chat right now, put a donation amount. And I do promise you that this donation amount that you give me for this cleanser, if you want it, I've only got 5 pieces, the top 5 donations for this cleanser. Just put hashtag cleanser. I know that okay. Donation is for the cleanser. I would donate it to the central kitchen over at Jalan Besar area.
Mm.
And I'll take the receipt and I'll put it onto the Patreon's chat so that Patreons can verify that I've done what I promised to do. Okay, so if you want this cleanser, put hashtag cleanser, make a donation, any amount that you want. All donations and proceeds will go towards a central kitchen. I'll get a name for you guys and I'll post it on Patreon again. Once again... Put in any amount you like. It's given to me free from Vina. I want to give it free to you, and I want to give something back to the community. So, put in any amount you like, and you know, let's help someone out, right? Let's help someone. John, you have one as well. Have you opened it up?
No. Hello, it's only November. I have to wait. You see, the first number is 1, so I'm not going to open it now. I'm going to do with it now. Okay. Frankie is suggesting that we should give it away at the Live, but then you will miss the first six
days.
It's fine. It's fine. You must start straight away. So yes, please give us a super chat if you want one of them. Hashtag calendar.
Yeah. All proceeds from the calendar sales will go towards a good cause. It's not to me. Yeah. It's not to John. Right? Okay.
And we promise you they are not recycled calendars, so they are not haunted. Okay? They are not haunted. Wow. I tell you, today's topic is making me, like, in my head, I'm now mentally moving around the house and imagining all the things that are from secondhand shops. I'm like, oh shit.
I don't know. My house got a lot of secondhand shit. Like. My wife is bringing back all this stuff. I
oh dear.
I have a horror museum in my house already. Like, my God.
And in fact, I'm suddenly remember the armoire?
Oh yes.
Right? Another one of our favorite short films from the first season of Ghost Mortem.
Was it first season? Was it that long?
Yes, I think so. First season. One of everyone's favorites. And it reminds you not to go dumpster diving for free furniture because, ayo.
Wow, Jason Lim, thank you, sir.
Thank
Samuel
you very much.
Yen as well.
Jason and Samuel, yay.
I've
thank
got
you,
five
you,
to give.
You.
Top 5 donations will get it. So
okay, two down, 3 to go.
It seems like Jason's probably going to get it. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, I mean, your donation will go towards the Central Food Kitchen. So yes. Please give generously.
Karma, good merits. You guys will get good merits.
You see, your wife is asking you, I bring back what? You accuse her of bringing back things.
Other people at Grace, you bring back a haunted 100-year-old cupboard that turned on the stove, have a woman in my room, not in a good way somehow, you know? And then they have a couch that you brought in from dumpster diving. There's so many in my house. Anyway.
And those going to be your prized possessions and your star exhibits at the museum.
Anyway.
Better be grateful.
Supernatural Confessions, the live show is coming up. 6th of January, 2024, Saturday, 6:30, 7 o'clock, doors open, 7 to 9, 2 hours of John, me, and a few special guests that you have heard of, but I have not seen. 9 to 10, the post-show mingle. Well, last year, this was the best part about it. We love it.
Yes.
We're going to bring it back. Location is at 10 Square Auditorium, Orchard Central. Very near. We're going to end at 11, so you guys can 10 to 10. We can bring the party downstairs to 11 and you can catch your last train, no problem. Price is at $48. You know, the community has did their calculation, and quite frankly, this is pretty much just break-even point after we get logistics and everything in. You know, 10% discount for reserve list. We ask you to reserve all your bookings. All of you on the reserve list, you get 10% off. But please do make the payment before the 30th of November. Patrons, of course, you are our love and joy and a pillar of our support. Your 10% is on top of this 10% throughout. Okay? Again, if you miss the 30th November, you lose the first 10%, but you still get your patron 10%.
Yeah.
Got it? Alrighty. And next thing is Pancha Kosha happening this Sunday. There's a couple of spots left. Murali is here. We are cleansing our chakra, bad luck, bong sui, everything. You want, call the hotline 9459-4931. And of course, we have John and I, our pride and joy, Walk with Hantu, happening next week and 2nd December. Okay, next week is almost full already. Yeah, next week is
25th November, yep.
25th, almost full. 2nd December, we still got spots, okay?
Yeah, nice.
Okay.
Okay, I must reply to Frankie that can be arranged. Yes, Frank, I agree with you, Frankie. Not all secondhand shops do BS, of course. You know, I think it's a very good thing that, you know, the things that we use can be loved again and again and passed on to other people, of course. You know, we're just saying sometimes, you know, you never know, something might slip through the cracks. You know, and it's not about blame, it's about you taking precautions, right? So go ahead, buy your pre-loved clothing, you know, buy your new secondhand books, buy, you know, yeah, recycle furniture, but you need to know, you're the one bringing it into your home, so you need to take care of yourself, right? Whether you want to sage it, whether you want to bless it, whether you want to do whatever, you know. I mean, I just remember something terrible. Not terrible. Something that if I had known about this type of thing back then, I would never have done it. So a lot of my secondhand books are not even from secondhand bookstores. I used to volunteer at Salvation Army, right? And me and my friends were in charge of the book receiving. So when the truck comes in from collecting, right? From the various collection points, right? They come to us, and then we will be the ones who sort the books. You know, the ones that can be sold, the ones that are too lousy, too damaged, you know, blah, 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 right? And we get the first pick. So end of the day, we will have our own plastic bag of like, you know, our goodies, right? And I'm thinking, oh gosh, those were like raw secondhand books straight from the hand of the person donating it.
Oh man.
Right. I'm like, oh dear. Okay. I'm just glad there are books and not like clothing and stuff, right? Because there were aunties who were in charge of the clothing. They were literally taking the clothing out of the original plastic bag that it was donated in, and then they bring home.
Not nice,
that's missing one layer of safety. At least let it hang in the thrift store a bit. air the hantu out a bit. You know what I mean, right?
Yeah.
You know, oh dear, okay. But today we are all wiser, okay? We are all wiser now. Do not be like Eugene, okay? Got ghosts, never mind, stay in the room.
Don't be like me, lah. Must be the hantu, lah. I keep saying that, but then, you know what? Okay, so it's 11:46 already. We've got to say goodbyes now. Untold story of Crying Lady, Crying Ghost of Block 42 happening on Featured Confession right now. And then after that, right after that, you see me trying to handle pottery.
That's the behind the scenes treat.
Yeah. Okay. So patrons, you're gonna get a bonus content that's not shown on public into your Patreon account. Nice. Now let us say goodbye before we head to our feature confession, John.
Final words. You know already, lah. I will say it again. Okay. Go ahead, recycle, reuse, but be safe.
Well, purpose is more often burden than glorious. Choose your burden. My name is Eugene Tay. That's Jonathan Lim. Saying good night. We'll see you guys next week.
Yeah.
Second last episode of the year. Good night, everybody.
Woo-hoo. See ya.
What did you find? You are listening to Supernatural Confessions.